Let's take a moment to pray and then we'll get to work. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, the way that you have been challenging us, the way that we see that you are generous with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be working on our spirits, that your Holy Spirit would be coming inside of us and changing us from the inside out, and that we would become generous like you are generous. Not out of obligation, but out of desire to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been going through and doing a mini series on generosity and giving in the New Testament. And the place that gets hit the most in depth about that is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And what we have seen is that the Corinthian church was one messed up church. If you remember back about a year ago when we were going through the book of 1 Corinthians, you realized that this was a church that had all kinds of sin going on. They were even getting drunk at communion. But Paul, like a loving father, wrote to them and coached them along, challenging them to become more like Jesus. And as we look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we see that Paul is basing everything, and I won't have this up on the slide, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." That sentence, that verse right there, is the fundamental building block for why Christians should give, why Christians should be generous. And I'll tell you that as a pastor, I don't like to talk about your money. Or at least I don't like to talk about how you should give money to the church. I don't know exactly what it is. Something early on in my youth turned me off to that. It was probably televangelists, and we've all seen those. We know what they're like. Granted, not all of them are bad, but a few do make a bad name for all ministers. And so I've struggled with this whole thing of, one, feeling called to preach through books of the Bible from start to finish, and two, knowing that we need to talk about giving because the Bible talks about giving. So I've kind of put it off as, all right, if we hit it in a book, we'll hit it. But God really laid it on my heart a couple weeks ago to start this series and to really focus on giving. And as I was studying for this week, I realized there was an aspect of giving that I haven't been communicating to you. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 through 24. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. "But thanks be to God, who put into your heart, the heart of Titus, the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us. For the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, who we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches. The glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. What we've seen as we've been looking through this is that this was not that Paul was coming to them saying, you need to give, you need to give, you need to give. But instead what he was doing was the Corinthian church had been excited to give. They had received the gospel, and as they received the grace, as they realized that Jesus had done so much for them, had given them so much, they became excited about meeting the needs of other Christians, about meeting the needs of people around the world. And they decided, well, you know what? We're going to pledge a gift. We as a church are going to take up a gift and we're going to bring it. And when you guys come back around, you guys can take it and give it to the struggling church in Jerusalem. And Paul had been excited, and he had been saying to all the other churches as he was traveling around on his missionary journey, he's like, the Corinthians, they've pledged this gift and they are excited to be helping out their brothers and sisters that they have never met, but they're related because of Jesus. They're wanting to meet these needs. And after that's been going on, after they've made this pledge, the Corinthians took a little bit of an economic downturn. It wasn't as bad as it was in Jerusalem. It wasn't as bad as it was in Thessalonica or Philippi. But it made them start rethinking how they give. They started to say, you know what? I'm not sure that I can give that amount. As I was preparing for this message, I heard this wonderful story about a man who he and his wife, during a building project at their church, had decided that they realized that God was laying on their heart to pledge a certain amount of money to the church. And they filled out the card saying, you know what, I'm going to pledge this amount. And before they got to turn it in, one day before worship service, and he looks up and he sees this water spot on his ceiling. Calls out a guy to do an estimate. Guy tells him $17,000 is what it's going to cost to take care of the problem and replace his roof. They're like, I can't afford that. But God, all right, you told us to give this amount. We're trusting in you. We're trusting that you'll provide for what you've told us to do. So they still turned in their pledge. And they got their insurance adjuster to come out. Supposed to be one of the most hard, unrelenting insurance adjusters that they had ever heard of. The insurance adjuster got up on the roof, walked around, looked at it, came down, put his arm around this man and said, we're going to get you a new roof. Before they were writing the check and filling everything out, something went wrong on their car. They're like, oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Turns out they were less than 3 months away from the warranty on their car going out. But they were just within 3 months and they were able to get it taken care of. I know that as I talked to you last week and I challenged you to pray over the next week and ask God, God, how much do you want me to give? What are you calling me to be a part of? I am sure that many of you in this room, as you were thinking about that, if you were praying about it and saying, God, what do you want me to give over the next year? I bet you some of you had some financial things stick out in front of you. And you said, oh no, I've got another financial obligation. I can't do that. I'm not saying be unwise with your money. I'm not saying give all your money away. What I am saying, though, is if God has called you to give a certain amount and you've prayed about it and he's confirmed it in your spirit, he will provide for you to give. I've talked recently with Miss Rosalie, with my wife, with my grandpa. And over again, we look at our finances, we look at the finances of the church, and we say, God, how on earth did you do that? Because the money doesn't seem to add up the right way. It seems like the cost has always been far more than it wound up being. Seems like we've always brought in, whether it's to the church or to our personal finances, too little money. But still, he shows up and he just makes the dollar stretch. I don't know how he does it. The finances never seem to add up, but he does. I have no clue how we were able to do some of the stuff on our house over the last year that we had to do. I have no clue how financially we were able to provide for it. It makes no sense whatsoever in my mind. But God has blessed my wife and I that the only debt we have is a no-interest family loan on our home. That's it. Cars paid for. school bills taken care of. He makes the dollar stretch, and I don't know how he does it, and I know that he's blessed me, and I want you guys to hear my testimony that God does provide. If we listen to Jesus, what he says is the birds of the air don't worry. The grass of the field doesn't worry. Yet God provides for them. Their needs are met. And God loves us so much more than the birds of the air or the grass of the field. Why on earth do we worry? And I know over this last year, I have given in to worry at different times. I've given in to worry of, man, how am I going to pay these medical bills? And then the insurance company knocked a whole lot off. And then the hospital knocked some more off. And it's like, wow, good going, God. And it's just amazing to see what God does and how he shows up. And I want you guys, it's so easy. It's so much in our human sinful nature. It's so easy to go around whining and complaining about our finances, whether it's as individuals or as a church. I'll tell you, I am making the commitment. And I'm asking you guys to make the commitment along with me to stop whining and complaining and fretting over the church finances. I have heard more often than I care to think about, oh, I don't know how we're going to be able to pay this bill. I don't know how we're going to be able to pay that bill. And month after month after month, God provides a way. Instead of focusing on how bleak finances look, I am challenging you to say, you know what? God's shown up time and time again in the past, and I can't wait to see how he does it again. I am so excited about what God is doing in this church. And yes, it does take our generosity. That's why my wife and I filled out one of these pledge cards for the next year. They're in your pews next to your hymnals. I would ask you to take those out. And if you have not spent the time praying over it this week like I asked you to, spend this next week praying and saying, God, how much do you want me to give? And one of the things that I love so much about Jesus is it always comes back to him. He's not asking us to be generous like the gods of other religions where they say, here I am sitting on this throne, you better make me happy, you better sacrifice this, you better give this money. No, what Jesus says is, your good works, your offerings, your everything that you try to do to make me pleased with you doesn't amount to squat, because you can't do anything with a pure motive. But what he said is, I love you so much that I am going to give up myself, my riches, leave heaven and come down, live a sinless life, die on the cross in our place, and raise from the grave on the third day. That's our whole basis, is the fact that our God is generous. He's not some demanding God that's going, do this, do that, I want you to do this, make me happy. No, our God is one that says, you can't make me happy, but I love you. And I will die in your place. One of the things that I look at as I read this passage and as I study it is not only are we supposed to be generous, not only are we to be joyful, but I, as a pastor, as I'm coming to you and I'm encouraging you to give, my motive should never be that it won't get done without you. My motive should never be that the bank account is lower than we think it ought to be. But instead, if my motive is going to be like Paul's and like Titus and like Jesus, my motive is going to be, I want you to have the blessing of taking part in what God is doing. I don't want you to miss out on that blessing. I don't want, when you see ministry going on in the church, for you to be like, man, I should have taken part in that. I should have given sacrificially. I wish I had been a part of that. I want you to be, I got to be a part of that. I got to do that. I was able, God blessed me and we had extra money and we were able to take it. And God told me to give this amount and I gave it and look at what he did. Look at how he stretched that money. Look at how many people it helped. When our budget committee met, I believe it was late last year, we put together a budget of what it approximately costs to do the ministries that we do, take care of the building and our finances. Now we're going back and we're looking at places that we can trim some of the fat so that we can be good stewards of God's money. One of the things that we see is Paul is saying here that they aim, in verse 21, that we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. As he's taking this offering, as he's coming around to the different churches and gathering the money to take back to Jerusalem, this church that is struggling with famine and poverty and oppression, he says, we want to be respectable and honorable. We want to do what is right. We want to take care of how things need to be taken care of. We want there to be no question in God's eyes or in man's eyes on if we are being honorable with this money, if we're taking care of this money well, if we're handling these finances well, if we're making sure that the money gets to the right place. That's why we're looking at some of the things in our budget and we're saying, all right, where can we trim some of the fat? Where are some of the areas where we're spending more money on this than we ought to be? And where can we get the best deals so that we can handle God's money well? That neither when we as a church council stand before you or when we stand before God on judgment day, neither one will have a reason to say, you know what, you didn't handle that well. And when we put all of the money together, and we may be able to trim some of this down, for the ministries that we're doing now, we're looking at about $86,000 for the year. God can do it. He can. And he wants to use us. He wants us to be his vessels. He wants us to be the tools that he uses to meet the needs around the community. One of the things that we're doing right now is we're doing a movie night. It's been amazing. I've been loving getting to know some of the people from the neighborhood. And as people have grown, we've had two people join our church in the last month that we really got to know through the movie night. And one of the reasons why we have it on the fourth Sunday of every month is by that time, most people's food stamps and bank accounts are pretty well empty and dry. And so we have dinner and a movie, and it's for the whole family to come and enjoy and eat. And that's a way that we can bless people in our neighborhood, that we can feed the hungry. Another thing we do is on Halloween, we hand out candy and Gospels of John and popcorn and hot chocolate. Last year, we had right around 300 people come through that tiny little parking lot right there. That we were able to give something that talked about Jesus to them, that we were able to shake their hands, welcome them, give them a friendly smile, talk to them. And one of the things that I love seeing is I love seeing you guys be a part of that. I love seeing us come out as a church to welcome the neighborhood, to love on our neighborhood. And to bless our neighborhood. Another thing we do is Vacation Bible School. It is hands down our most extensive outreach that we do. And at the end of the week of Bible school, every kid walks away with school supplies. Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want to join in on blessing others? Don't you want to see God use you? We have so many cool things going on in our church. And as we grow, we'll be able to add more. And as we see God work, we will be blessed to be a part of that. I don't want you to miss out on what God wants to do through you. The last thing I'm going to look at is verse 24. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. What he's saying is give proof of what you love. You know, one of the ways that you know how much you love something is when you look at your bank statements and your credit card statements and you see where most of the money goes. You can always tell where someone's heart is on where is their money going. Is it entertainment? Is it food, food, and more food? I'm not saying go hungry. I'm not saying don't starve yourself. We're Baptists, so some of us could use to go a little bit more hungry. But God is so good. And he wants us to show off where we love. If you love missions, then some of your money is going to be going to our North American missions offering. If you love this church, some of your money is going to be going to fund the ministry of this church and what God is doing in it. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about this building. It's not even about you. It's about Jesus. And do you love him enough to give generously, joyfully, sacrificially? When was the last time you had to sacrifice anything? In our culture, we don't often sacrifice anything. We go for the instant gratification. I love you guys. And I want to see you get the joy and the blessings of being a part of what God is doing. Other than that, God will handle the finances. Trust in him. Also, allow him to use you in accomplishing that task. All because Jesus became poor so that we could become rich with him in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of your wonderful blessings. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to become and be a part of what you are doing. Lord, I pray that first and foremost, your sacrifice, your giving would be our example and our building block, our foundation for how we give. That we would love to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.